Thank you for joining us to hear Brother Tommy Ledford and Brother David Clark with The Truth Ministries on the air every Sunday morning at 8:30 here on AM 600 and 101.1 FM WBOB. Follow them on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you'll find information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another week here at The Truth Ministries. This is Brother David Clark. I'm excited to be with you today. I hope you're up getting ready for church, making your way to the house of God. I say that every week, but I mean it. I really do want to see you in the house of God. Come and be with us at Bethel Holiness Church if you don't have a home church. But if you do, don't make your pastor go out looking for you. Go be in your church this morning. But this is the day the Lord has made. We owe it to God to worship Him every day, but especially on Sunday, this is the day we should be in God's house. But I didn't come to say that, but it's good anyways. I want to say that I appreciate everyone listening by way of radio from all of our prison facilities, Baker and Union County, Hamilton, Florida State Prison, wherever you're listening from today. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you. And I get reports here little by little that people listen from different places. You can log in anywhere in the world and listen on the web. And so I'm thankful for that. So wherever you're listening from today, thank you for tuning in. You can always send us an email at brotherdavidontheair@gmail.com, all spelled out. And let me know where you're listening from around the world. I'd sure like to hear from you. I'd love to pray with you. So I'm going to be reading this morning out of the book of Mark, Mark chapter 10. And then I'm going to read some out of the book of Judges, if you follow along in your Bible. Mark chapter 10. I was not going to use this morning. I was going to continue on from some message that I preached last night. But I really feel like this is what God wants me to share with you this morning. And I've got to obey Him. I could listen to David all I want to and say, well, logically, this would go over probably better. But this is what I feel like God wants me to say. So that's what I got to do. Mark chapter 10, let's read in verse number 21. Now, the rich young ruler has come to Jesus. And I'm not actually going to be talking about the rich young ruler too much. I'm going to be going to a different story. But I want to use this portion of this scripture here because my mind went back to this. We're going to be talking about Samson. My mind went back to this morning. As I was mulling this over in my head about what I was going to be saying. Now, the rich young ruler comes to Jesus. He says in verse 18, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, because the rich young ruler says, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 19, Jesus says, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. He answered and said unto him, Master, all of these have I observed from my youth. That triggered something this morning, from my youth. I've lived what we call in the church, we say, but I live right. I do live right. For have lived right from my youth. A lot of people say that. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross, and follow me. Now, when you hear what I'm going to be reading here next out of the book of Judges, you're going to say, well, Brother David, how does that even go together? But this story, it somehow, in my mind, it took me back to that rich young ruler because of the similarities here. In the book of Judges, chapter number 16, I'm going to read several scriptures. Please bear with me as I read the scripture. Don't sign off because you're tired of hearing it. I'm going to get to the message, but I must read the scripture this morning that tells us what's going on. In the book of Judges, chapter 16, some backstory to this. We know that over in chapter 13, Samson's mother was barren, and the angel of the Lord came to her and said that she was going to have a son and that he was going to be set apart. He was going to observe the Nazarite vow. He was going to have his hair uncut. He would not eat of any unclean thing. He was going to observe all of the rituals of the Nazarites. He was going to be set apart for God's service. Now, she carried that out, and that's what happened. Now, in chapter number 16, we're going to talk about Samson, and this is after he's been through some things already. He's been involved in some things here, had some war, had some victories won. But listen to verse number 16, chapter number 16, verse number 1. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her. Now, this chapter is not starting off very well. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Now, so far, Samson's been married before. Samson has been with harlots before. Two, three verses back, he was just with another harlot. And now in verse number 4, it says he loves a woman in the valley of Sorek. So there seems to be a pattern here in the life of Samson, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him. Entice him. They've been caught on to his weakness here. And see wherein his great strength lieth. And by what means may we prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. We will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak as another man. And the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried. She bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson, and he break the widths, and a thread of tow is broken when it touches the fire. As a thread of tow is broken when it touches the fire, so his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. Now this goes on a couple more times. We know that Samson tells her, you know, if you braid my hair, and if you bind me with ropes. And so both times, and all three times, nothing happened. We know that he still had his strength about him. And then the last time, verse number 16, it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all of his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her all of his heart, she sent and called forth the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all of his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. And the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Verse number 22 says, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. This is a sad story that we read about Samson. It's sad in the fact, and I know that we all know the end of the story. We all know that Samson's strength comes back one last time as God moves on him. He's standing there in the house with all the Philistines there. And we know that Samson's strength comes back when he prays to God and he makes things right. And God moves on him one last time and Samson pushes the pillars down and he kills more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. And I understand that. But I want to talk about this part of this story this morning. This is something that God has dealt with my heart about, that I feel very strongly. Now, if Brother David doesn't get excited, holler, and scream this morning, you bear with me, because I feel like talking to somebody's heart today, I want you to know that God's trying to reach out to you today. Now, Samson from his birth was set apart by God. He was a Nazarite from his mother's womb. The angel of the Lord appeared unto his mother and announced that he would be born. Now, I don't know about you or my birth was not announced of angels. No one came to my mom in the middle of the night and said, "Hey, Dolly, you're going to have a child." You know, I would hope that if I was announced by angels, I'd have probably turned out a little bit better than what I did. I think my parents did a good job, but I wasn't announced by angels. But Samson's birth was announced by angels. His mother was barren. It was miraculous how Samson came to be born. It was none other than the work of God that he was alive. Now, the angel of the Lord told his mother, he's going to be set apart. Samson will not be like everybody else. He'll take the Nazarite vow. A razor will never come upon his head, and he will never eat unclean things. He will be separated unto God all the days of his life. And I think about how she followed through with that. She raised Samson in that mindset. You're a Nazarite. You're separated unto God. This is how you must live. Maybe sometimes it seemed extreme to Samson. Maybe sometimes, I'm sure everybody else can agree that when we were being brought up, sometimes the things that mom and daddy did or did not do or made us do or would not allow us to do, it seemed harsh when we were kids, but mama and daddy knew how to raise us in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And now that I'm older, I appreciate it. Well, Samson was raised in that manner, but somewhere along the line in Samson's life, even though his birth was announced of angels, even though his mother raised him and his father raised him to live that Nazarite vow, even though that Samson knew his calling on his life, even though he had great strength, there was still something in Samson's life that was out of control. You say, Brother David, what was that? Well, the Bible says here, through chapters number 14 and 15, it talks about how that Samson had a problem with the lust of the eye. Samson had a problem with sexual desire. Now, I know that everyone doesn't have a problem with the lust of the eye. I understand that. But I want to make this relative to all of us today, that just because Samson was brought up in that type of an environment, just because he was a Nazarite, just because the Spirit of the Lord was upon his life, Samson still had to face temptation. He still fought with the flesh. He still failed several times. Now, I know that we think in the church today that because we were raised in this type of denomination or that type of denomination, someone's a lifelong Baptist, a lifelong Assembly of God, a lifelong Church of God, a lifetime of Pentecostal holiness, maybe, just whatever your background may be. People feel like, you know, they have such a heritage and that heritage should be enough to make them a good person. But I want to tell you today that you can be raised by all of the priests in the Old Testament. You can spend your days coming up in a monastery. You can live and cut your teeth, as we say, on the pews of a Pentecostal church. You can be brought up in the strictest of households. You can be of the most prominent family in church history, but you're still going to have to serve God with 100% of yourself, or it will be of no avail today. Now, I want to talk about a few things here in Samson's life, and I'm just going to tell you what God showed me. I'm just going to show you like he showed me. Is that all right? You just bear with Brother David. I've never brought it out like this. I like to have a few more things written down and bullet points and all that when I'm on the radio and live on Facebook, but I'm going in this morning just on the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Now, Samson was a Nazarite. He knew how to live. He knew how to keep the razor out of his hair. He knew what to eat and what not to eat. Now, these were major things for the Nazarites. Their bodies were set apart unto God. They believed in maintaining a pure body. But it's very ironic to me that even though Samson had a Nazarite vow, even though he obeyed those laws, still the sin that Samson partook in was a sin against his own body. He sinned against the temple of God, because the Bible says that fornication is a sin against the flesh. It's a sin against our body. Now, Samson knew better, but the lust of his eyes caused him to fall prey to this several times. Now, we read in the beginning of chapter 16, it says, "Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot, and went in unto her." Chapter number 16, the first verse starts out by telling us that Samson gave in to temptation and he laid with a harlot. Then we move on here. A few verses down, it says here, "It came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah." It seems to me that not very much time has passed since he was just in the company of a harlot, and now he's in love with a woman, another Philistine woman named Delilah. Now listen to me this morning. I want to be very clear with you. I want to be very open with you about some things here. I want to be as blunt as I can, but as respectful as I can. It does not matter this morning how you were raised or what family you came up in, how prominent your faith is, what denomination you came out of. If you have a problem with sin, all of that is of no avail this morning. I want to tell you that you still got to live right to go to heaven. Does everybody hear me this morning? I can't hear your responses from the radio, but I can see your responses on Facebook. I want to know that you're paying attention today. Can you hear me when I say, everybody out there in radio internet land, that it does not matter how devout you have been to a certain faith or a certain denomination, if you have a sin problem, then you still will not go to heaven. It'll still keep you out of heaven. I know folks that have been raised in the most strictest of households. I mean, they had their parents had such a tight standard, you couldn't hardly find a place to put a finger on them to point anything out. They seemed like they had everything just so, but then you find out later on things come out in their life and you think, my God, if that's the life they live and that's how they were raised, then there's really no hope for anybody. But I want to tell you that it's going to take a close walk with God. Now, how does the story of the rich young ruler play into this? Well, he asked the Lord, the rich young ruler that we read earlier, the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 21, Jesus told the rich young ruler, "Thou lackest one thing." And I want to compare the two this morning, because Samson was a mighty, mighty man of God. I mean, the Spirit of God moved on him, and he slew thousands of Philistines. I mean, the anointing of God would fall on him, and he would do wonderful feats. The Bible said the angel of the Lord said unto his mother in chapter 13, listen to what they said. It says, "For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." There was a mighty plan that was expected out of Samson's life. God knew the calling he was placing on him, and Samson knew that the angel had said all these things. I'm sure his mom and dad reminded him often. Now, Samson, you know you can't act that way. You got a calling on your life, son. You can't do that. You can't eat that. you can't do this? Because you got a calling on your life. Some of us have come up under those same situations. You know, as parents, we want our kids to understand that they must live a holy, clean life before God and serve Him with all that they are, because God's got a plan for their life. I was just telling my son Jacob not too long ago. We were in the altars praying together, and I said, son, you need to learn how to serve God with everything in you now, because He's got a plan for your life, and there's going to come a day when God's ready to use you in a mighty way. And if you've not lived for Him, if you're not praying, if you're not everything for God He needs you to be, you won't be ready to carry out the task that God has for you. Well, I want to say that on a much larger scale today, that friends, even though you may have lived as close to God as anybody has ever lived, maybe your hair touches the floor. Maybe your sleeves go on for days. Maybe you wouldn't dare darken the door of a bar or a nightclub. Maybe you wouldn't dare say anything that was out of line with your mouth. Maybe you wouldn't dare partake in any strong drink. Maybe you live so close it would seem to God. Maybe you read His word. Maybe you pray. Maybe you do all kinds of things, and it would seem on the outside that everything is all together. But I want to remind you that just as Samson had it all together, just as the rich young ruler seemingly had it all together, you can still lack one thing and miss out on the plan that God has for your life. You can still be found wanting whenever God comes by and says, all right, I want to see if you measure up so I can use you in my kingdom. I want to see if you're living like you ought to be living so I can pour my anointing out on you so you can make a difference in this world. Friends, I don't want to get to the place where God has to pass over me and choose somebody else because I'm not fit for service. I don't want God to pass over me. I don't want my life to be less than God's expectations for me. He told that rich young ruler, you lack one thing. Sell all that you have. That rich young ruler evidently had a problem with possessions, with pride, with greed. I don't know. But evidently it was a problem, or else the Lord would not have told him, you lack one thing. Go sell all of it. Take up your cross and follow me. A dedication issue, a greed issue, a problem with money, a problem with wealth. This morning it could be anything. But we could come from the holiest of upbringings. We could have cut our teeth on church pews, and yet, when we get to the point where it matters, we get to the point where God is choosing who He can use in His kingdom, God's getting to where He wants to pour His anointing out on us and use us mightily, we come up short. Samson falls. He sins against God in his body. But listen, then it seems like every time it gets worse and worse. Then he meets Delilah. He loves Delilah. Delilah is given a mission by the Philistines, and they want her to find out his weakness. Isn't that like the devil? To put things in our path to try to expose our weaknesses, to try to prey on us by our weaknesses. He's a smart devil this morning. He is a smart devil. He knows how to find our weaknesses. And just like Samson, some people just come out and tell him what they are. You know, I don't try to speak my weaknesses where the devil can hear me. I don't tell people around me what my weaknesses are. I don't brag about that. I try to keep those things to myself in prayer, and I give God the glory for the strength to carry on and not give in to any type of temptation, any type of enticement, any type of pride, any type of jealousy, all the things that are stumbling blocks for us. I don't want to give way or give place to the devil. But Samson laid in Delilah's lap and told her all of his heart. He literally gave the devil the tools that he needed to conquer him. He provided it his own self. Now surely Samson must have known. Surely, if everyone knows my secret, I'm vulnerable. If everyone knows the power of God and the source of my strength, I'm going to be vulnerable. But because his eyes were blinded with lust, because his eyes were blinded by the things of this world, Samson could not see. Now fast forward this. They come in, they shave his head, his strength is gone, and this man who was raised by godly parents, this man who observed the Nazarite vow, this man whom the Spirit of God moved on in a mighty way, finds himself in the prison house, chained to a grind, and all the Bible says, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. He did grind in the prison house. Blind. Chained to the grind. Broken. Probably feeling like he's at the bottom. His love has betrayed him. His parents, no doubt, if they are alive at this point, I don't know, that probably would be ashamed of what has happened. He's probably feeling deserted, probably feeling like he's failed God. I can't feel the presence of God on my life anymore because of this thing. It's gotten to the point where it's not just going into a harlot. It's not just the lust of the eyes. Now he's given up everything in the lap of someone he thought he loved and he thought loved him. Samson found himself lacking in one major area. But I want to tell you today that if you're going to work for God, if you're going to be in the ministry of God, if you're going to be used by God, you can't afford to miss one thing. You cannot afford to let your guard down in one area. I want to tell you this morning that too many people have fallen out of the good graces of God by missing God in one area of their life. I don't know what your struggle might be this morning. I don't know what you are battling with. I don't know what the sin is or what the stumbling block is that the devil's trying to use against your life, but I want to tell you to take note this morning that God's trying to tell somebody that it is not worth losing your anointing over. It's not worth losing your ministry over. It is not worth falling out with God over one little thing. God has such big plans for your life. God has such a calling for your life. And yet we are willing to lay it down for a few moments of pleasure, for notoriety, for popularity. We're willing to lay down the call of God for things that just don't matter. When God has such big plans for us, God has a calling for us, God has a will for our life, and we throw it down the drain for a few fleeting moments. I want to tell you, the comeback of Samson was not nearly as glorious, not nearly as glamorous as people may think. Verse number 22 said, "Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven." How long does it take someone's hair to grow back if they had long locks that had never been cut? All their life is shaved off, and now the hair has just began to grow. I don't know about you, but whenever I've had my head shaved as a kid before, it took a long time to grow back, it seemed like. A long time. Yes, the power of God did move on Samson one last time, but it also claimed his life. His last and final act as a man of God was just that, his last and final act. His final act of valor and bravery cost him his life. I want to tell you this morning, when you fall from the good graces of God, it's hard to get back to that place. It's possible, but I want to tell you this morning, before you allow the sin and the temptation of this world to take you out, take note this morning of what I've said to you. It's not worth it, friend. I said it's not worth it. We're going to continue on next week. God bless you. I'm out of time. I love you. Thank you for bearing with me. I know this was short and kind of slow this morning, but I love you. Think about this. It's not worth it, friend. Just get in church this morning and worship God. He's worthy of all of our praise. We'll see you next time. I love you. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to hear Brother Tommy and Brother David this Sunday. Follow them on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you'll find information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points. Thank you, and may God bless you.